on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the On Air Indie Show. Welcome and enjoy episode 45. First, music history trivia for May 17th. The first Monterey Folk Festival took place in 1963. Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, and Peter Paul and Mary took the stage. Jimi Hendrix, The Who, and the first major public performance of Janis Joplin happened at Monterey in 1967. Oslo, Norway producer-songwriter Robert Vendetta is on the Buzzer Indie. Fuse David Bowie with Frank Sinatra and James Brown, and you got Robert. Incredible talent with a voice that could melt butter. We feature three tracks, part of the upcoming album, All By His Handsome Self, releasing September 30th. Enjoy. Hi, Robert. Thank you for joining the show today.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really love your music. You know, it's incredible. You are an incredible performer.
Oh, thank you.
Like I'm captivated by watching you. You know what? Before I read your bios, because I look at the music and the videos before I look at anything about an artist, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going, wow, this guy is a fusion of Elvis meets Sinatra.
Thank you very much.
Meets David Bowie. That's what then I read your bio and I saw the James Brown's influence and Elvis was one of your heroes and Dee Sinclair. Anyways, I was blown away. I just wanted to tell you that before we started the show.
Thank you. That's nice to hear.
So your third solo album is releasing in the fall of this year.
Yeah.
Entitled All By His Handsome Self.
Yes.
Before we talk about that, how did you come up with the title?
Well, the truth is I didn't. I nicked it of a friend of mine. He had it as with just one line in the lyrics of a song, and I just thought that's just way too good to be just one line in a song. So I actually started using it as a title for a tour I did. I was just touring myself, playing piano and singing. So I just thought, why not?
Oh, it's an incredible title. It's an incredible title.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So I just thought, I have to nick that title.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about your background.
Well, I'm from Norway. I was born in the south. I'm the child of a working class dad and a rich mom who married a working class dad. So mm-hmm. I've been kind of raised in two different types of cultures. And I've always been creative. And when I was 11, I heard Michael Jackson for the first time. And through him, I learned about James Brown. And I just knew that I wanted to do that. So my dad was a really good singer, but I wasn't really musical, but I just kept on rehearsing, and have done that ever since. So when I saw James Brown, I knew I wanted to sing, I wanted to write songs, and I wanted to dance.
Yeah, and you practice being a guest on Letterman.
Yeah, I do in front of the mirror every night.
That's incredible. So you practice visualization.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because I don't know if you know about Dee Snider. He's the frontman of Twisted Sister. He used to do the same thing. And I think a lot of artists that became good frontmen did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine like you're on a show or you're in the front of the audience. Because, you know, if you're going to be a good performer, you have to practice it.
100%.
Yeah.
No, I firmly believe in that. I've actually adopted that practice from the very beginning, like from when I was a young adult. I imagined myself doing what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
and dressed for the next level, so to speak.
Yeah.
I firmly believe in it. I thought it was really cool, so I wanted to bring it up. And you have a background in acting.
Yeah, I've done that too. I started as a child actor, and when I was about 20, I think, I actually went on tour for a year in Norway, doing a show, a theater show, which was really funny. Not like funny, fun. Sorry, it's late. Yeah.
And what type of theater?
It was kind of like, you say farce in English?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like a farce. It was actually about getting young people to think about alcohol and, you know, how much they drink and what happens when they drink, and just to get them to think about the consequences. But it was a really good show. The people that made it were great guys, and they just brought out the best in us. We were four actors who spent 1 year together in a small car driving around Norway.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Norway is really beautiful, so I've been fortunate to see, you know, every city in Norway. So that was like a year I will remember for the rest of my life.
And what is Norway like?
It's really beautiful, and it's diverse. I mean, Norway is a really, really long country. It's like they say if you tip Norway over, you end up in Sicily in Europe. So it's like almost half the length of Europe. So in the south, you have like nice beaches, white wooden houses. And in the north, the landscapes are way more, I don't know how to say it, way more bigger and bolder. And, you know, it's the weather is harder. And the people are really different because Norway consists of a lot of mountains. So people in the old days were separated. So like the dialects in Norway are really diverse. So when I came to the north, I had to speak English because they couldn't understand a word of what I was saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Norway, you know, is famous for the fjords. We have a lot of nice nature, and the air is refreshing, and we can drink tap water. It's better than, you know, any kind of bottled water. So what I always do when I come home, the first thing I do is just drink tapped water, and that just reminds me the favorite drink I can ever get is Norwegian tap water.
Oh, wow. Well, that's incredible things. Incredible things. I've never been, but you enticed me to go.
Yeah, there's just one downside. It's really expensive in Norway.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And why so?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, we are always considered like rich if we go to a lot of other countries, but we in a way are, like, if I go to Mexico, everything is cheap for me. But when I go home, like buying a burger is, I don't know, $10 for one burger. Wow.
$10 for a burger.
Yeah.
Well, Canada's not far off.
No, but in Mexico, it would be like, I don't know, $1 maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can buy a dinner in Mexico for $1. So the differences are like, so for us, it's not cheap living in Norway. And like, if you want to buy a house in Norway, it's especially in Oslo, it's like crazy expensive. So there's a problem with the market that the young people, they cannot afford to buy their own flat in Oslo. So they never get into the market unless they have rich parents.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's like that in Canada.
Yeah.
Like people in Canada.
Yeah, people tell me that Canada and Norway are in many ways similar.
Mm-hmm. From what you tell me, they are. Mm-hmm. So how did you earn the moniker Norwegian Mariachi?
It's almost kind of a joke, but I love Mexico, and I love mariachis, mm-hmm. and I have like this flamboyant way of dressing. And my mom makes something we in Norway call bunad, which is kind of like the national costume. So everybody's like, why don't you have one? And I always say, no, I want a mariachi suit. So I guess that's why. So it's my connection to Mexico and the way I dress, basically.
Well, I love the way you dress.
Thank you.
The way you dress. It's incredible. Very retro. I love the wide lapels, the bell bottoms, the colors.
Yeah, I do too.
It's amazing. A little unknown fact, apart from podcasting and writing, and I also do marketing and web design for indie artists, I also have a stageware company.
Okay.
Yeah, so cool. I was like, as a professional, I was like, oh my God, I love it. Who designed your stageware?
Well, it's I've been working a little bit with a friend that's a designer. She helped me with the last costume, the one I wore for the last album. But this one I actually just ordered from China. It's a wedding suit, and I tailor-made, and I just asked them, you know, I want bell bottoms and stuff like that, and they just made it.
Wow. So it was your vision.
Yeah, it's always been my vision. So
it's I'm
a little bit of a control freak.
A control freak?
Yeah, I want it my way. I played in my last band, which was, I don't know, we were 2012, I think we broke up. You know, there were always people around us saying, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that. So I just decided, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't want to think about why I'm doing it or, you know, trying to be smart. I just wanted to be me on stage, basically.
And that, well, you definitely are.
Thank you.
Definitely are. I've never heard the term retro pop.
Oh, it was, I was visiting a friend of mine and his wife, we were listening to the music and his wife just said, well, that's retro pop. So I've never heard it before either, but I just felt like, well, that describes my music pretty well.
No, it definitely does. Your music and the way you perform, and I would say your videos, it's a performance. It's not just a video. It's very retro, but your sound is very modern.
Thank you. That's the goal.
It's incredible. Incredible. I'm definitely a fan.
Thank you.
So we're going to be listening to Colombian Spice, which was released February 11th of this year. It's very sassy, high energy song. What was the inspiration behind the track?
Well, the track is actually, the song is old. It comes from the band that I had up until 2012, but I changed it a lot. And it just fitted into, because this, the album that is coming out the 30th of September, I wanted to make like a real concept album. And I thought if I'm going to make a good concept album, I have to think of it kind of like a musical. Like you have, instead of every song telling the same story, you have to split the story into sections. And one of the sections was a moment I hope many people have experienced when you just meet somebody for the first time and you just go like, wow.
Yeah. So we're going to be listening to Colombian Spice now.
Cool.
I love the video. You self-produced and recorded it.
Yeah, well, I did it with a guy called Patrick Oldenburg. I always wanted to work with him, and he turned me down because he was too busy like many years ago. And then he actually asked me if I wanted to do something. And I told him, well, I have this idea. And he just went for it. So the idea was mine, but he did all the, you know, the works.
Yeah, I saw that you worked with Patrick. And it was recorded in the Vendetta Room.
Yeah, the song was recorded. The Vendetta Room is my studio.
I figured that.
I figured that.
I just wanted to ask. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I always wanted the ability to record music and produce other records as well, which I have done a lot of. And and another side by that is I wanted to be able to play every instrument. And on this album, because of the title, All By His Hands Himself, I thought I better play all the instruments myself, except for drums, because I'm not good enough on drums. So I had this vision that I wanted to, like Lenny Kravitz or Paul McCartney, just go into a studio. Even when I was 12 or 14, you know, I was thinking this. I wanted to do it all by myself.
So what instrument was your first?
The guitar.
At what age?
Oh, to be honest, I don't remember, because my dad was always playing guitar and I wanted to learn, but I wasn't allowed to touch his guitar, so I just watched him. And then
I'm sorry, I get that.
Yeah, well, actually, I've got the guitar now, so
okay.
Payback time. No, but my friend had a Fender, a Stratocaster, and went to a guitar teacher, so I would play on his guitar. And then after every lesson, he would teach me what his teacher had taught him. So it was kind of like, you know, like a sponge. I was like trying to get whatever I could of, you know, learning how to play guitar, and by watching my dad, watching my friends, and then his brother started playing bass, so I did the same.
That's very interesting. Have you ever taken dance lessons?
No.
And you dance that well.
Thank you.
I'm blown away.
Yeah, I've done like a lot of people that dance like Michael Jackson. I just, you know, in the VHS days, I just, you know, watched the videos and played it on like a slow tempo and just tried to do what they did. So I started out like and Michael Jackson and James Brown kind of impersonator when I was, that was the first thing I did on the stage. When I was 12 at the local club, teenagers club, I would do my Michael Jackson act or something like that.
Really? Do you know how to do the moonwalk?
No. I thought everybody else knows it, so why should I?
Yeah, okay. My dog does the moonwalk.
Really?
Yeah, he really does. He does his business outside, and then he does the moonwalk. It's really cool.
What kind of dog is it?
A Yorkie?
Of course. I figured, because I've seen movies of them, you know, just walking with their front feet, just sitting on your ass and just walking.
I think he's all 10 pounds wet, and his name is Jack.
Oh, it's a nice name.
Yeah.
I told my mom, if I'm ever getting a dog, I'm getting a Yorkie.
Yeah, they're beautiful dogs. Yeah. Lots of attitude, too. Lots of attitude. So your heroes were James Brown, Elvis, and Dee Snider.
Yeah.
What about them made them that status for you?
Well, Elvis was one of my dad's heroes as well. And so I grew up listening to. Actually, the first song I can ever remember hearing is Way Down by Elvis. And I can remember how the cassette looked and all that. And so my dad was a big hero, and I became that too. And I remember like stuff like I always wanted, because I grew up pretty poor, so we couldn't afford a lot of stuff. And I remember watching Elvis and I with my mom, and my dad came home with like a double-decker cassette player for me, and that was like heaven for me.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if I was 7 or 8 or something like that. But then I discovered James Brown through Michael Jackson. That was kind of my musical liberation, the first artist that I learned to love by myself. And when I went when I was like, I don't know, 16 or something, I discovered Bowie. Actually, from my music teacher, she showed me Bowie, and I just fell in love with his music and his persona, really. Yeah, you know, all the outfits and his image. And I had quite a big David Bowie face where I would wear, you know, the same types of suits he would wear in the 90s with the bell bottoms and everything. And then Dee Snider came later on. And the thing I love about Dee Snider is I don't think there's anyone who's better at talking to an audience. Like, I've been to a Twisted Sister concert, and it was just like, he's so good at talking to the audience.
So he has a way of connecting with the fans.
Yeah. And making people, almost like forcing them to connect with the band on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the common ground with all of these artists is, well, especially James Brown and Dee Snider and Kiss, which is also some of my great heroes, is, you know, they wanted to put on a great show because they felt people earned it. You know, if you pay for the ticket, you should get a great show. So that is kind of like one of my mantras as well.
Mm-hmm. You're also, I see the intensity of Bowie in your work.
Mm-hmm.
You also have been influenced by Odell.
Yeah, Tom Odell, which is a fairly new discovering. I don't know. I discovered him when he came out with his second album, really. I knew about the first album, but I heard him on the radio. Because in the summers, I work at the cemetery, so I listen a lot to the radio. And I heard this song, and I thought, who is that? And then I saw him on the Graham Norton show, and I just thought, who is that? And he's just, he has the same intensity.
And Very intense. Yeah.
Yeah, and we went to see him actually perform, and I was just blown away. And he also has this kind of like, I don't know if you know who Paloma Faith is, but she's also pretty cool. And they have this thing in common that they're not like perfect singers, but there's something magical about them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe, but it's like they're not boring in any way because they're real, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I definitely know. Yeah. He's very expressive.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very expressive. Very expressive.
Yeah.
So the next song that we're going to listen to is If It's Over.
Mm-hmm.
It was released March 18th of this year. It's hopeful, but you know what? It's incredibly retrospective, but sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, very I found it very relatable. Very relatable.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually I get a lot of comments from people I know and people I don't know. And one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten was for that song. Somebody sent me a message on Instagram and just said, I needed that song.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the best compliment you can get as a songwriter.
Is this about a relationship that ended for you?
It's a part of the story. That's what I can say. But yeah, it's well, when I make songs, they're based on my experiences, but they're not always my mm-hmm. experiences. But you know, watching friends going through stuff, and so a part yes. of it is me, and a part of me it is from other people. But especially in this day and age, you know, when people get blocked and stuff. It's kind of about that, you know, it's so easy to just get people out of your life. You can just block them.
Well, it's definitely a song we needed now. I agree with that comment. So listeners, we're going to listen to If It's Over.
Before my eyes, I've called 100 times to hear. say goodbye. So if it's over, won't you let me know? If it's over, you should let me know. You should let me know. What once was golden, now is fled. In the mirrors I behold a living dead. And if it's over, can't you let me know? If it's over, you should let me know. You should let me know. You should let me know. Won't you let me know? If it's over, you should let me know. You should let me know. You should let me know. You should let me know.
Incredible song.
Thank you.
The video was, I found it incredible. The artistic expression of you performing whilst you're on the ground in angst. And like, I might be off on this. It was like an end of a relationship, but also the end of a performance. Like, because you're performing, and I found it very interesting to watch. Can you tell me if I'm on or off on that?
Yeah, it actually, what we tried to do was the guy on the ground or on the bench is the one who is actually performing, because that's like what people see. And the other guy is what's inside of him, mm-hmm. what he really wants to express. But, you know, especially, I guess, being Norwegian, you know, you try to wear a mask. Especially if you're from the south, you know, when people ask you how things are going, you always say it's okay.
Yeah.
Even when you know you want to scream and say, I really need somebody to talk to. So that was kind of the idea, and it was actually born out of the pandemic, because, you know, we can't make videos like we used to. So I had to think of a way to do a video in just one setting with just me.
It's an incredible song.
Thank you.
Incredible song, great lyrics. And you partnered with Marius Martinsson?
Yep.
For the video, can you tell me about that experience?
Well, we've done almost all of the videos I've done with him. And we have just like this amazing chemistry, and he's really, really good. And he works at a company called High and Low, and they normally make advertisement videos, and they are doing really good. And he loves making music videos because, you know, it's kind of an outlet from not making commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a musician too. And, you know, it's funny because we can, you know, when we talk about what we can do and stuff, we sometimes just have the exact same ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just really, he's a great photographer. I remember when we did the first music video, I noticed he knows what I'm going to do before I've done it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And since he works for this company, you know, we have all the equipment we need. We have like some of the best cameras in the world. So I'm really fortunate to be able to work with him and with the company.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Well, you did an incredible video.
Thank you.
The next track that I want to talk about was released May 6th. Mm-hmm. Without You. It's your first cover.
Yeah.
I found that unique. What motivated you to do the cover?
Well, the guy who wrote it, we recorded his album in my studio, so I produced it. And when he played that song for me, I just knew almost instantly that I want to do that song. Mm-hmm. And I got all these kind of ideas in my head of how I wanted to do it. And then, you know, you carry around these ideas until you can record it. So I spent a year before I started doing what we call a pre-production, where you kind of like make like a demo of what you want it to sound like. Mm-hmm. And I was so relieved when I had done the pre-production, because I was like, yeah, that's what I want it to sound like. So it's just one of those things where you don't know why, you just know you want to. Mm-hmm. And he writes really great lyrics. So that's another point. And he's kind of like, I'm an educated musician and an educated writer, and he's not. So when I work with him, I get more creative, because he inspires me to think out of the box, you know, all these rules that I learned, you got to do this and that. And that mm-hmm. song is an example of something that kind of pushed me to think in a different way.
I saw the promo video, and the official video is going to be released by the end of May?
The 14th of May.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so it was actually done today.
You're a busy boy. Do the video, come and do a podcast. And, wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, but that's kind of like, I don't think a lot of people know how much you have to work as an independent artist. So I've been working all day. This night I slept 3 hours because mm-hmm. I had to, you know, plug my music to people and stuff like that. But I like busy, and I like busy when I can be creative. So my biggest dream is, you know, to be able to live off this, so I can do this every day, every hour or every day.
Mm-hmm. Are you a full-time artist?
No. I, well, it depends on how you see it, because I think I work like 200%, but I work with teenagers, because I need to make money to use money on music, because, mm-hmm. you know, making those videos and it's not cheap. So for now I do other stuff, and I have a job that I love as well. So it's nice, but sometimes, you know, when you sit in the piano and, you know, I can play for an hour or two, and then you just want to sit there for five.
Not uncommon. I'm a full-time writer, yeah. Hon. So I do this for fun too. So not for fun, but for my creative outlet,
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I totally get that. Can you tell us about the song before we play it?
Yeah. Without You is, well, it's written by a guy called Annos Melostai, which is a good friend of mine. And as an artist, he's called I Am Stray. And, he wrote that song based on experiences, because he also worked with teenagers, and some of them, you know, you need to talk to and try to help. And some of them are in hopeless situations, and it's not always easy to, you know, you cannot say it's going to be okay. You cannot promise that, because, you know, it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. But what you can say is, I'll be here if you need someone to talk to, or if you just need to be in the same room with someone, or just someone to hold your hand. So that's kind of like the backstory of the song. And I thought it was kind of like a good way to, because it's the final song of the album, it's a good way to end, because, you know, there's always hope as long as you've got friends and someone to talk to and someone to that has a shoulder you can cry on. Then you're not alone.
That's a great message. So how many tracks will the album be?
12 tracks.
Oh, so it's a full album.
Yeah, it's... two of the songs are piano pieces, and then the rest are like normal pop songs.
Hmm. I look forward to hearing the whole album when it comes out.
Cool.
So we're going to listen to Without You. I love the black and white dancing in the video. It was incredible. It was so catchy.
Good. I always wanted to do that. I've proposed that for other music videos as well, but this time we went for it. And the funny thing about the video was we actually had another plan, a big plan, but we couldn't do it because we're not allowed to be many people in the same room here in Norway. So we had to figure something else. And I just trying to get some ideas. I was just watching YouTube and then a scene from Sin City came up and I just phoned Marius and said, can we do that? Is it possible? And he just went like, oh, I want to do that. And of course it's possible, but what he didn't think of it, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Can you explain that?
Yeah, we had to film everything on green screen. And then afterwards, when you kind of remove the green color, you have to be really picky about hair and stuff. So it's a lot of details that you have to work on. And of course, you have to make the shadows.
Yeah.
Because they're not on the green screen. Mm-hmm. Then you have to put in the background and stuff like that. So they did a lot of work. But I think he wanted to do it because he had never done it before. So he wanted that experience.
Well, the end piece is amazing. It's amazing. It's catchy. It's engaging. I love the retro orange tint in the back. I love
Thank
it.
You.
I love it. So apart from the album this year, do you have anything else on your plate?
Well, we're going to do a couple of, we're going to film a couple of concerts. Mainly because we don't know about the concert situation in Norway or in any other country right now. So we thought, because I have a growing audience in other countries like Mexico, the best thing to do was to actually record professionally two small concerts, because then I could kind of have a concert for everybody who wants to see it. So that's the first thing. We're actually going to record that in June, and there's going to be one in July, I think, and then one just after we release the album. And then we're going to make a lot of lyrics videos, which is going to be fun, a lot of fun. And then we'll just have to see how the situation develops.
Well, fair enough.
I've got a lot of contact with people who are interested in what I'm doing, and they're getting more and more people. So that's really fun, you know, to see that your audience is growing. And I know when I can go to Mexico, I know already I'm going to have a couple, I think three or four concerts are already set. Mm-hmm. So all that's missing is I'm able to go there. Yeah, and hopefully I'll be playing a couple of concerts in Singapore in October, but at all, you know, it's the same problem. We don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, you have followers in four continents, do you not?
Yeah, I do. it's like, yeah. And it's funny because it seems like my image, which is not really my image, because, you know, it's like I always say, my image is really just me on steroids. Uh-huh. It seems to have captured something in other parts of the world that it's not the same in Norway. I capture certain people in all groups. But mm-hmm. in like Mexico, where people discover my music, it's like some of the followers that I talk to every day, they're from Mexico. And there's one from Colombia. And so that's really cool.
Your B-sides are put out in Spanish. Can you talk about the B-sides mm-hmm. of your songs?
Yeah, they're both songs that I wrote as gifts for weddings for some of my Mexican friends. And I just thought, you know, it's a gift for the people that are following me in Mexico, really. Mm-hmm. And they are typical what you can hear on the radio in Mexico. So they're kind of not the same style as the rest of my music, but that's why they're B-sides. And yeah, I just thought, well, why not just record them? I want to. I like the songs, and they also represent a part of me that you don't hear in my music all the time, but, you know, like you mentioned Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. who's a crooner, and I love crooners. And when I go to a karaoke bar, I would always sing like songs from mm-hmm. of Perry Como and Charles Aznavour and those kind of guys. That's what I love to sing. So this was an opportunity to do something like that. And also just the experience of trying to write songs in a language I know, but not well enough. I cannot write lyrics like Shakira. Mm-hmm. And I also got help from, I have a really good friend called Denise Guzman. Mm-hmm. who is the daughter of a musician, and she understands poetry. You know, it's one thing to have somebody ask you, you know, is this grammatically correct and stuff like that, but she understands that, you know, the thing with the rhythm, and that the words kind of like, I can explain it like they have the taste right. I don't know if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
There are certain vowels that sound better to certain melodies than others. Mm-hmm. And she understands that. So it was nice to be working with her as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I do understand. I write, I'm a songwriter as well.
Cool. Oh, impressive.
Yeah. It's just something I love to do. I love to do.
Cool.
So if fans wanted to keep up to date on everything about Robert Benedetta,
yeah,
what platform is the best to follow you?
Well, that would be Instagram or Facebook, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've gotten a TikTok as well, but it's a new world to me. So I'm doing my best.
Do you manage your own social media?
Yeah, I do everything.
Yeah, you do very well at it.
Thank you.
Do very well at it.
Good. That's confirming to hear.
Well, I know you're putting a lot of work into your craft. It definitely shows. You're incredibly talented.
Thank you.
You're definitely. I'm going to follow you, 100%. And
cool.
I look forward to the music that you're putting out for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Thank you, Robert. Have a great evening.
Likewise.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please share this episode with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from The Buzzer and upcoming shows, you can follow us on Instagram at The Buzzroll Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Catch you at the pod next episode, On Air Indie, from iPad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.